This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به نتوكل عليه نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة 1,400 years ago, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent his final messenger, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to this world. And it is a point of aqidah for us, the point of theology for us, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest human being to ever live. It's not something that there can be any two opinions about. To even doubt it would be a matter of blasphemy. The very fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him to be the final prophet, to be the recipient of the perfect Sharia, is proof enough that he was the greatest of human beings. In Islam, there is a ranking of piety, of greatness. Not everyone's equal when it comes to righteousness, when it comes to their status in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even amongst the prophets, there are different ranks. Not every prophet is of the same rank. And so, for example, we have the difference between the Nabi and the Rasul. A Nabi is a prophet, someone who had revelation. They spoke to the angel Jibreel, right? And a Rasul was someone who came with a specific revelation, the Torah, the Gospel, the Quran, someone who came with a message. So, for example, Musa and Harun. Musa alayhi salam was both a Nabi and a Rasul. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he had a specific message, the Torah. Harun alayhi salam was a Nabi. He did not have a specific message. He received revelation, but it was to support Musa alayhi salam. It was not something different or new, right? It was a supportive position to that of Musa alayhi salam. And so the scholars of Aqidah say that the Rasul is a higher status than the Nabi. But even amongst the Rusul, amongst the prophets, there's a higher status, the Ulul Azm min al-Rusul. The Ulul Azm, the greatest, the most strongest of the Rasuls. The five greatest men in the history of this world. The five greatest Rasuls. Noah, Nuh alayhi salam, Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, Moses, Musa alayhi salam, Jesus, Isa alayhi salam, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even between the five of them, number one, the greatest human being in the history of this planet, there ever was, there ever will be, is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But what makes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such an amazing role model, such a great human being? There are so many angles from which we can discuss this. I want to talk about his accomplishments, which is a miracle in of itself. A few decades ago, a group of researchers, non-Muslim researchers, they had one, a Christian by the name of Michael Hart, they put together a project to try and figure out who were the most influential people in human history. And Michael Hart said he wanted to put Jesus at number one, but he couldn't honestly put Jesus at number one. After analyzing every great person in human history in terms of the influence and the accomplishments, he said, we have no choice. And this group of non-Muslim researchers put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the number one most successful and influential man in the history of this world. Why? They gave a very simple reason. Every other successful person succeeded in one or two aspects of life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam succeeded in every possible measurement of success. He succeeded from the smallest of things. He succeeded as a father. He succeeded as a stepfather. He succeeded as a husband. But bigger than that, he was successful in war. He was successful in politics. He was successful in establishing a religion. He was successful in establishing civilizations. No man in history has had this level of success, besides Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his success is a miracle, because when you put it in the context of where he lived and what resources he was given and how much time he was given, it is a mu'ajiza. It is a miracle that he accomplished everything that he did in such a short period of time. To put it in context, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is born into Makkah 1400 years ago, an orphan, in the sense that his father dies before he is born and his mother dies when he's at a very young age. He does not have access to a lot of wealth, he does not have access to a lot of resources. At that time, the two superpowers of the world are the Romans and the Persians on either side of Arabia. Arabia is a small desert land with a few tribes, a few villages, a few towns. There's no real civilization and power there. He doesn't have a power base, right? He does not know how to read and write. He's given the message at the age of 40. And for the first 13 years of preaching the message, he is part of a minority that is oppressed by the idol worshippers. It's only after he makes migration from Makkah to Medina that he actually has a power base. He actually has a base of operations. He has a leadership position in the community. He has an army. And he can now actually do things. He can now actually make a difference. He can now actually spread his message. And he accomplishes everything that he accomplished in 9 years. Think about this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of his accomplishments that even one of which would take us 50 to 100 years to do, he accomplishes all of it within a period of 9 years. From the time he makes hijrah to Medina until he passes away, in that 9 to 10 years, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accomplishes the likes of which would take people multiple lifetimes. He establishes Islam, both on the religious level and the political level. He eradicates idol worship from the Arabian Peninsula. He leaves behind a generation of followers, the likes of which no other leader had ever left behind. If you have to measure a leader by the quality of their followers, no leader in history produced a quality of following the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam produced the Sahaba. The Sahaba were the greatest followers in the history of this world. That they took the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they built a civilization out of it, and they took it throughout the world and spread it across the globe. No other leader had following like that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life is a miracle. His seerah is a miracle. When you think about the fact that in those 9 years in Medina, he had to take care of all of his wives, all of his children, all of his stepchildren. He had to teach in the masjid. He had to receive revelation. He had to teach the revelation. He had to advise people. He had to deal with delegations. He had to fight wars. He had to fight battles. He had to sign peace treaties. He had to do all of this. And yet he was still able to accomplish every single one of his goals. He was still able to accomplish more than we can ever imagine. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's greatness can be measured by every possible measure. When it comes to his accomplishments in this world, no human being comes even close to having accomplished in a short period of time what he did. I want us to think in our own lives. If we have a goal, if we have a project, if we're looking to change something, we know it's going to take 30, 40, 50 years, sometimes even 100 years for it to actually have any fruit in the community, right? But with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything transformed within this 9 year period. Everything completely transforms in this short period of time. Another angle from which he was the greatest of human beings was his akhlaq, his character, his personality, who he was as a person. When we study the seerah, when we study hadith, when we study any science to do with spirituality, we have to study the life and the teachings and the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him in the Quran, Uswatun Hasana, the perfect role model. The perfect role model. If you want to be generous, there was no man in history more generous than him. You learn generosity from him. If you want to learn humility, there was no leader in history more humble than him. You learn your humility from him. For any good quality you can think of, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the apex of good character. Think about his generosity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we have the saying, right? We have the saying nowadays, that he's so generous, he'll give the shirt off his back. The only person I know historically who actually did that was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was walking and he was wearing a very nice looking shirt, and a Bedouin man roughly grabbed it and said, "I want that, I like that." And the Prophet took it off and gave it to him. Just like that, he gave it to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so generous that his generosity caused people to accept Islam and to recognize him as the true Prophet. A good example of this was Safwan ibn Umayyah. Safwan ibn Umayyah was the son of the same Umayyah that tortured Bilal and was killed by Bilal. So he hated Islam and hated Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ conquered Makkah, he begrudgingly had a kind of like a peace treaty with the Prophet ﷺ, and he accompanied him on the jihad, but he wasn't a Muslim yet. When the Prophet ﷺ won the Battle of Hunain against the people of Taif, and they received more war booty than they received ever in their lives, right? Anyone at that time who's a king or a false prophet or anyone who's about themselves would have taken most of it for himself. Rasulullah did not take anything for himself. And he gave Safwan, who wasn't even a Muslim, who was antagonistic towards Islam, he gave him so much that Safwan realized, this man has to be a true prophet. He's got no worldly objective. He has no worldly desires. He's interested not in this world. It was the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that convinced him that indeed this is the true Prophet of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so humble that if a man had to walk into a gathering and look for him, he could not recognize him from the crowd. He did not sit on a special chair or have a special clothing or sit with a special status. He was a man of the people. The most humble of people were the most humble of clothing, the most humble of homes. Umar radiallahu anhu would go to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he would see him sitting on a mattress that would leave lines on his body, and he would feel sad for him, like, "Yo, can't we get you a better bed?" And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I don't want anything of this world, I only want a nice bed, right? And again, at this point in time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had access to the resources to give himself a good life. He chose not to. He chose not to because he didn't want anything of this world. His life was for Allah. His life was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be the final messenger because he was the best of humanity. He was the best of creation. He is the role model in every aspect of life. You want to be a good husband, you look at him. You want to be a good father, you look at him. You want to be generous, you look at him. You want to be brave, you look at him. But end with one incident that proves that he was the bravest of the brave. One of the Sahaba narrates that one of the nights, we heard a loud noise from the forest nearby. So we all woke up, the men woke up to go and check what's that noise. And so by the time we went outside to check what's that noise, the Prophet was riding his horse back from the forest, telling everyone, it's okay, I went to check, there's nothing there. Meaning before any other man in the middle of the night could wake up and go into the forest to see if there's any danger, the Prophet was the first one there. On his own, he went straight to the forest, searched for danger, came back and reported to his people. Shows his courage, also shows his humility. He didn't think of himself as someone special, he thought of himself as a man of the people. Rasulullah taught us true leadership. True leadership is humble. True leadership is service. True leadership is generous. True leadership is genuinely caring about your people. And so he was the best of leaders. He was the best of human beings. He was the man who accomplished more than seemed humanly possible. Think about this point. When the Prophet ﷺ becomes a prophet, in Makkah, they are like, maybe after the first few years, there's like 80 Muslims in the world, just in Makkah, and they are an oppressed minority. When he passes away, the entire Arabian Peninsula is Muslim, right? Idol worship has been eradicated. Within 20 years of him passing away, all of the Middle East as we know it today is under the authority of Islam. Within 90 years of him passing away, from Spain all the way to India is under the authority of Islam. This is a miracle. No one in history has accomplished this. From him came the religion of truth, Islam, that today a quarter of the world follows. From him came many great civilizations that changed the world, like the Khulafa Rashidin and the Umayyads and the Abbasids and the Safavids and the Mughals and the Ottomans and many, many others, the Mamluks, all claimed to follow him. Many civilizations from one leader following his teachings. And so we have the greatest of role models. Let us celebrate his life. Let us follow his example. Let us study his seerah and his hadith. Let us make him our role model. And let us be from those who continuously send salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد وقال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. One of the signs of a great leader is the kind of people they leave behind. Who are their followers? What kind of transformational effect did they have on their followers? And no one in history has had a stronger and better following than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His followers were the Sahaba. And the Sahaba were the greatest generation to ever live. He was the greatest prophet, the greatest human being. His followers were the greatest generation of followers. And to show you an example of how loyal the Sahaba were to him, how much the Sahaba loved him, how much they were willing to die for him and do anything for him. We go back to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Now normally when you talk about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, we talk about when Suhail ibn Amr and Rasulullah ﷺ negotiated the treaty. But let's go back a little bit further. The people of Makkah actually sent multiple people to delegate, right? They sent multiple people as delegations to speak to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and try and negotiate a treaty. One of the people they sent was the leader of Taif, Urwa al-Thaqafi. And the leader of Taif, remember Taif and the Muslims had a very antagonistic relationship. The worst thing, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked what's the worst thing to happen to him, it was when he went to Taif and they stoned him and chased him out of the city. So this man comes to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the leader of this community. And he's coming in with very big misconceptions and very wrong ideas about the Prophet and about Islam. He's coming in with this idea that this is a false prophet and that his followers are just cowards who are just there, you know, for the money and for the fame. He has all these wrong ideas. He comes in and he starts talking to the Prophet. He talks to him very roughly, very harshly. And Abu Bakr interjects. And this man, this leader of Taif, to try and cause some friction between the Prophet and his companions, he tells the Prophet, these companions of yours, they're going to abandon you. As soon as they find something better, they're going to abandon you. At that moment, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gets so angry, he literally swears this man. He utters such a vulgar swearing phrase, I can't mention it on the minbar, right? But it's found in Sahih al-Bukhari. It's the only time Abu Bakr ever used such language, right? He swears this man to his face, and this man is shocked because he knows Abu Bakr, he knows Abu Bakr's personality, he knows Abu Bakr's level of character, because Abu Bakr doesn't use words like this. So he's shocked, why is Abu Bakr talking to me like this? And he realizes it's because of the love and loyalty that Abu Bakr had to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he was so upset at the very idea of any man could assume that he would ever abandon him. That's why he used such language. It was a sign that, how dare you even think that we would ever do something like that. So this man, the leader of Taif, goes back to Makkah, a changed man. He goes back to the people of Makkah and he tells them, I have met with the Caesars of Rome. I have met with the Khazars of Persia. I have met with many kings. I have never seen a leader whose followers love him and respect him the way this prophet's followers love and respect him. I've never seen this in my life. He says, when he tells them to do something, they do it immediately. When he's washing up for his prayers, they go to catch the water. And they'll die for him. They'll literally die for him. He ends up eventually converting to Islam. But what does this incident show us? The quality of following that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam produced with the Sahaba. This is the impact of his message. This is the impact of his personality. This is the impact of his character. People who met him and believed him were forever transformed to a level that after he passed away, his message did not stop. It spread and it spread, and today it continues to spread all over the world. Wherever you go in the world today, there are people who believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who follow his lifestyle, who follow his footsteps, who send salawat upon him, who are from those who take him as their role model everywhere on earth. And to think he started as an orphan in Makkah, in a land that wasn't part of any major civilization. And he wondered, who's going to follow? If I go and preach to the people of Makkah, it's a huge joke. How many people are going to follow this? But Allah took his message and spread it across the world. Allah took the love for him and spread it across the world. And so we too need to have that love and that loyalty to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his Sahaba, the way the Sahaba had to him. And we too need to be from those who we do not tolerate people disrespecting our Prophet. We do not tolerate people blaspheming our Prophet. We will let them know, the way Abu Bakr let that man know, that you don't talk about our beloved like that. This is a red line for us. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to do justice to this deen, to be from people who represent this deen properly, to be from people who take this deen seriously. We ask Allah to put into our hearts and the hearts of our descendants the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba, and to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our role model and the role model of our children and our descendants. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to benefit from being part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah to grant victory to the ummah of Rasulullah, especially to those in Gaza, what they are suffering, what they are suffering. And we ask Allah, that Allah grants them patience, He grants them victory, and He grants them success, and He revives Islam. Allahumma sallim mujahideena fi Filistin, Allahumma sallim mustadafina fi Filistin, Allahumma izzal Islam muslimin, ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.